Tonight being Ash Wednesday and the first day of the season of Lent, I want to briefly comment on the major themes of Lent. Or to put it another way, I want to talk about what Lent is really all about. Indeed, I would like us to notice four things in this regard. And the first is that Lent is about remembering that God is for you, not against you. Indeed, in the opening collect, as we prayed it tonight, in tonight's liturgy, we prayed, Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing that you have made, and you forgive the sins of all who are penitent. And then in the absolution that will come a little bit later in our service, the priest prays, Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who desires not the death of sinners, but rather that they may turn from their wickedness and live, which is more or less a direct quote from the prophet Ezekiel, Ezekiel 33 and verse 11, which is also reminiscent of what God said famously through the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And so that's the first thing. Lent is about remembering that God is for you, not against you, and this notwithstanding the general penitential nature of the season. The second thing is that Lent is about engaging in a proper response to the true nature of our sin. Lent is about engaging in a proper response to the true nature of our sin. Indeed, it's easy enough, isn't it, to make light of our sins or to focus on the sins of others, which is a great way of keeping from focusing on your own. But Lent calls us to something more. Indeed, in the opening collect of tonight's liturgy, we prayed, Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who desires not the death of sinners, but rather that they may turn from their wickedness and live, create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may obtain of you, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness through Jesus Christ our Lord. And notice that the forgiveness comes only after true contrition. It is true sorrow and a true acknowledgement that our sins are in fact just as bad as God says they are. Indeed, this acknowledgement is indispensable to true confession and the cleansing and the forgiveness that comes from God as a result. Interestingly enough, the word confession in the Greek, monologeo, literally means, literally, to say the same thing. Mano legeo. That is to say the same thing about our sins that God says about our sins. That's what confession is. And so we have it in John's first letter. In fact, you may be familiar with the passage. 1 John 1 and beginning at verse 8, in which the apostle says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. It's a deception. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess, mono legeo, but if we confess, if we say the same thing about our sins that God says about our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, to wash us from all unrighteousness. And so that's the second thing. Lent is about engaging in a proper response to the true nature of our sin. The third thing is that Lent is about being truly aware of our natural limitations and the inescapable truth of our mortality. It's about being aware of our natural limitations, even as we sang about them, and the inescapable truth of our mortality. Indeed, in the prayer over the ashes in tonight's liturgy, the priest prays, Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality, our susceptibility to death. That's what that means. a sign of our mortality and our penitence, that we may remember that it is only by your gracious gift that we are given everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Savior. And then the priest says, during the imposition of ashes, as you will remember, remember that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Which is more or less a direct quote from Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19. It's a very biblical liturgy, isn't it? Indeed, left to ourselves, death is all there is in the end. And death is inescapable, even if we're believers in Jesus Christ, unless he should come before we die. In which case, as Paul said to the Corinthians, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he truly is, as John said. But still, death is, for the most part, a problem, isn't it? As real as birth. But God has provided a remedy to the inevitability of death and offers us something more. As the scriptures say, and if you don't know any other verses, maybe this is the one that you do know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, believes in the Son, should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so that's the third thing. Lent is about being truly aware of our natural limitations and the inescapable truth of our mortality. Finally, then, Lent is about engaging the traditional Lenten practices that the church has been practicing for centuries, indeed even millennia. Indeed, several of these traditional practices will be mentioned in just a moment in the pastoral invitation to the observance of a Holy Lent. These practices include self-examination, not the examination of others, self-examination, and penitence, that is the identifying of my sin and then turning from it. That is what the liturgy otherwise calls amendment of life. And confession, monologeo, and receiving the promise of God, namely the forgiveness of sins. And then there's the practices that are very much associated with what Jesus did, not merely at a particular season or time in the year, but as a way of life. And what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ if it doesn't mean to do what he did? Indeed, Jesus figures large during the season of Lent, which season is actually organized around the 40 days of his time in the Judean wilderness when he fasted and prayed and did spiritual battle with the evil one, with every temptation, quoting Holy Scripture. In fact, from one particular book and one chapter, Deuteronomy 6. And so he fasted and he prayed. He did spiritual battle with the devil and all of that before the start of his public ministry. And so with Jesus as our model, we add prayer to our Lenten practices. We pray because why? Because he prayed. He prayed. And so we pray and fast. Indeed, it's interesting. And as we read tonight from Matthew 6, we talk a lot about giving and we talk about praying. We don't talk much about fasting. But Jesus says, when you give, do it this way. And when you pray, do it this way. And when you fast, because he assumed that we would. Because that's what he did. He's assuming that people that are chasing after him and get close enough to hear his voice want to do and want to be a disciple of his and do what he did. And so we fast on such days as this. Because he fasted, and scripture study and meditation, because as I just mentioned rather briefly, Jesus knew the scriptures, and they were alive in him. In fact, if you don't know where to begin in reading the Bible, which may very well be the case, there are Bible reading guides in the gathering space to help you get started. And so Lent is about remembering that God is for you, not against you. It's about getting and engaging a proper response to the true nature of our sin. It's about being truly aware of our natural limitations and the inescapable truth of our mortality. And it's about engaging in the traditional Lenten practices that the church has been practicing as disciples of Jesus Christ for centuries, even millennia. And so I wonder, will you do it? In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.